This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
صفاتي سمي السماتي كبير الشان جليل القدر رفيع الذكر مطار الأمن جليل البرهان فخيم الاسم غزير العلم وسيل الحلم كثير الغفران جميل الثناء جزيل العطاء مجيب الدعاء عميم الإحسان سريع الحساب شديد العقاب أليم العذاب عزيز السلطان ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له في الخلق والأمر ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والفجر وليال عشر وقال الله تعالى في مقام آخر ليشهدوا منافع لهم ويذكروا اسم الله في أيام معلومات على ما رزقهم من بهيمة الأنعام فإلهكم إله واحد فله أسلموا وبشر المخبتين الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم والصابرين على ما أصابهم والمقيم الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون صدق الله العظيم فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, as you all know that we have entered into the very first 10 sacred days of the month of Dhul Hijjah. Of course, as you all know, that the month of Dhul Hijjah, especially the very first 10 days, has a great and a very high position according to the teaching of the Quran and the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This month in particular is very, very special. It is the last month of our lunar calendar, which is our Islamic year. Then followed by the month of Muharram once again. It is the month where people who go for Hajj, they go and they revive. Not only do they, but the ones who are even at home, who are not able to perform Hajj that year, we revive the Sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salam. The ones who are going for Hajj, they revive the practices of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Hajar alayhi salam. This is the month where when they go for Hajj, it is such an amazing experience that first of all, if for those who have not gone for Hajj, and even if we have gone for Hajj only once or twice, this should not stop us from asking Allah over and over again to give us the ability to go and make ziyarah of this sacred place, the most sacred place on the face of this earth. Keeping in mind is that this Hajj, when a person he goes for Hajj, it is such an experience and it is acceptance by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that a person can have fulfilled all the resources. A person can be financially be stable. He can have the time. He or she could make all the arrangements. But if Allah does not want a person to come to Him, this person will never be able to perform Hajj. This is a very special acceptance by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why first of all is that we should continue to make dua to Allah, that oh Allah, regardless of my financial resources, regardless of what I have and my capacity to go for Hajj, oh Allah, you bring me to your place. Oh Allah, accept me. And that is when people, when they go for Hajj, if Allah does accept them, they continue to go for Hajj. I graduated from an Islamic university in 2003. Till that time, my own teacher who taught me Sahih Bukhari, he had performed Hajj before that year. He had gone for Hajj for 24 years consecutively. He had gone for Hajj. Till this year, just right now, I found out from some of my class fellows that his wife has passed away. Yet he is in Hajj, he's making dua for his wife, and he has now been in Hajj for almost 34 years consecutively. When a person is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will continue to go and make ziyarah of this special place on the face of this earth. But keeping in mind is that this is the month, or when I, and actually going back to Hajj, that in Hajj it is so special, such an amazing experience that everyone is equal before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you look in, when the pilgrims and the hujjaj, the brothers and sisters, when they go to Mina, when they go to Arafah, when they go to Muzdalifah, when they go back to Mina, they're all in white. Regardless of their color, regardless of their ethnicity, regardless of their financial status, it can be a king, it could be the poorest person on the face of this earth, it could be a person of this ethnicity or that ethnicity, from this culture or from that culture. But when you see everyone is doing something together, whether it is in Mina, whether it is in Arafah, whether it is in Muzdalifah there are no exceptions for anyone. Regardless of your status, everyone is sleeping beneath the stars. Everyone is sleeping on the face of this earth beneath the stars. Everyone is equal before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So first of all is that this month is very, very special because of this sacred, because of this very amazing experience, which is called Hajj. But keeping in mind is that why, besides Hajj, where did this all start from? It all started from Ibrahim alayhi salam. There are so many things that we can learn from Ibrahim alayhi salam. And what I would encourage even parents, that you must create an atmosphere in your home. You must create an environment in the home where there is a vibe, where children are looking forward to the month of the Hijjah. They are aware of the month of the Hijjah. Parents, they usually tend and they put and they rely completely on Islamic schools or Sunday schools, that they should teach our children about what is, who Ibrahim alayhi salam was, and why is this month so special, and why is Hajj so special, and this day of Eid al-Adha, which is coming up soon, why is this so special? We tend to rely on those kind of things, whereas we need to create an atmosphere in our own home. Parents should sit down with their own children and tell them the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Who was Ibrahim? What did he do? How was his early life a struggle? How he was thrown into the fire and he was tested in that way? And how he was forced to make hijrah with his wife Hajar alayhi salam? And then what happened to her? What happened to Ismail alayhi salam? And then what happened after that when Ibrahim alayhi salam came back to visit his family? And then they constructed the Kaaba, where people, they were making tawaf around the Kaaba. What happened to the Well of Zamzam? The history of the Well of Zamzam. Who was it then the Well of Zamzam was then covered. And it was not to be found for so many years. Who rediscovered the Well of Zamzam? We don't sit down with our children and we don't give them this history. First of all is that there are two reasons. First of all is that we don't think it is important. Number two is that we may not even know about the history by ourselves. We as parents, we may not even know the full and entire information regarding Ibrahim alayhi salam. But we need to create an atmosphere within our own homes. We must. If this environment is not created within our own homes, where will our children learn from? Where will our children learn from? Sit down with them and teach them who Ibrahim alayhi salam was. When we look at the story and when we analyze the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, there are many things that we can learn. But I just want to share with you only just two things from the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam that we can really learn from. The very first thing is that there will be times in our life where we will have to make a sacrifice for the sake of Allah. And keeping in mind is that when a person, he makes a sacrifice, he or she makes a sacrifice for Allah, Allah will never let their efforts go to waste. Imagine the situation Ibrahim alayhi salam is put in. He is ordered by Allah to leave your family. Today, when a person has to move from one place to another place, they go and they scout out the area. They go and they look out, they look at the area. Which area is the closest to the masjid? Which area is a good place where me and my family could live? A place that is very, very safe. A place where less crimes are committed. A place that is close to school. We look for all of these things. But imagine, Ibrahim alayhi salam is told just to go and leave his family in a place where, as the Quran describes, بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ. There is no resource of life, there is no sources of life. Wherever you see there is a desert, would anyone today go and leave their family, a wife and a small child in a desert? Absolutely not. No one would do that. But Ibrahim alayhi salam, he did this. Why? Because it was the order of Allah. And when he left his family, his wife, Hajar alayhi salam, she says, that are you going to leave us here in a place where there is nothing? There is nothing here. I don't see anything around. There is no water. There is no source of life here. And then he says, and then in fact, Hajar alayhi salam, she says to Ibrahim alayhi salam, that Allahu amaraka bihada. Did Allah order you to put us here in this situation? Did Allah order you to leave us here? And he just gave the nod. He said, yes. And then look at the iman. Look at the iman of this woman. When she knew that it was the order of Allah, what came out of her mouth? She did not say, Ibrahim, you have lost your mind. Oh, Ibrahim, you have gone crazy that you are leaving us here in a place where there is nothing. She said, إِذَنْ لَيُضَيِّعَنَا. That if Allah has ordered us to be here in this situation with all these circumstances, then Allah will not let our efforts go to waste. Not only that, but then Ibrahim alayhi salam was challenged again. He sees in a dream that he is sacrificing his son. It was not something easy, because according to the proper aqidah, the dreams of the anbiya were a direct message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were a wahi from Allah. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he comes to his son and he executes the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What was that? It was a challenge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only that, but then Hajar alayhi salam, she was also tested. For a mother like that, with a small child, where it says that she was running between the mountains of Safa and Marwa, such beloved, it was so beloved to Allah that till today, every person that goes for Hajj and Umrah, they perform this sa'i between Safa and Marwa. Not only that, but they performed the actions performed by Hajar alayhi salam, that when she was trying to be deceived by Shaytan, when Shaytan came to Hajar alayhi salam and he said that Allah, that Ibrahim alayhi salam has taken your son to sacrifice him, what did she do? That she realized that this was the order of Allah, and to keep Shaytan away from her, she picked up stones and she pelted the Shaytan. She threw at the Shaytan. This was also so beloved to Allah that today a person who goes for Hajj for 3 consecutive days, on the 10th of the Hijjah, the 11th of the Hijjah, and on the 12th of the Hijjah, they will pelt the Shaytan all 3 days. The very first day they will pelt the Shaytan 7 times, the other 2 days they'll pelt the Shaytan 21 times each. This was so beloved to Allah that till today, every person who goes for Hajj, they have to perform these actions. So first of all, what we learn from the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam is that there will be challenges that will come our way from Allah. It will happen. It's part of the challenge of life. Allah says, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do you simply believe that you say that I believe in Allah and you will not be challenged? Every person sitting here in this gathering, we have our own challenges. We have our own problems. Something that may bother us at night. Something that may bother us at work. There's something that's always bothering us. We may have our own issues. We may have our own challenges. But a true believer, like we learn from Ibrahim alayhi salam, is that they never lose focus from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They always realize that when there's a challenge and you have to give up something for the sake of Allah, Allah will never let your efforts go to waste. This is the very first lesson that we learn from the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. The second lesson, the very second and important lesson that we learn from the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, is something that we see that took place within a family, which is something that we need to work upon as a family. Each individual family, we need to work upon this. When we look at the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, we learn that we look at the the level of Iman of Ibrahim alayhi salam. He was able to leave his family. He never second-guessed. When Allah ordered him to leave his family in a desert, he never questioned again. He never asked Allah again. When Hajar alayhi salam knew that she has to stay here, she never second-guessed the order of Allah. She never questioned the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the Iman of the child. Ismail alayhi salam, when Ibrahim alayhi salam, he says to him that inni ara fil manam anni adbahuka fanzur madha tara, that if today a child was approached just like Ismail alayhi salam was approached by his own father, and Ismail alayhi salam is told by his beloved father that I see in my dream that I'm sacrificing you for the sake of Allah. فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. What is your opinion in regards to this? What do you think about this? What did Ismail alayhi salam say? He says, قَالَ يَا أَبَتِ فَعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ, that, oh my father, oh my beloved father, you do as you have been told to do. This is what you call Iman, strong Iman of a child. Does any one of our children, do they have the Iman like the Iman of Ismail alayhi salam? Absolutely not. Our children today, our teenagers don't have that same Iman today. But look at the Iman of Ismail alayhi salam. Look at the Iman of Hajar alayhi salam. When Shaytan comes to her to tell her that your son has been taken away to be sacrificed, this was not, and when she knew that this was the order of Allah, she never second-guessed, she never questioned, but rather she held the shaytan to keep the shaytan away from her. My respected Madhusati brothers and sisters, what we learn from this is that there was a constant effort in the family. This family, the father, the mother, the child, their Iman was very, very strong. Their connection with Allah was very, very strong. And we need to work upon this. Today we see in our family that sometimes the father is very weak and the wife might be very, very strong. It may be vice versa. It might be the complete opposite. It may be that the father is very, very strong, comes to the masjid all the time, does so much, and the wife, she is lacking in her Iman. Sometimes there is the case where both parents are lacking, and the children, they are the ones who are very, very active in their society, and they come to the masjid, and their Iman is strong. And sometimes it might be the complete opposite, that the parents are doing so much, but the children are not doing. What we learn from Ibrahim alayhi salam is that everyone in the family needs to make an effort to increase their Iman. Everyone needs to do something better to become closer to Allah and to become Muslims who are more adherent to the teaching of the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We need to continue to make an effort upon this. Once again, I'm going to say this, and I have no problem saying this. Do not, if your kids are going to Islamic school, do not rely on the Islamic school. Tarbiyah starts at home. Tarbiyah starts at home. It is not the responsibility of the Islamic schools. You have to teach your kids at home, and you have to do the proper tarbiyah of your kids at home, and that is where tarbiyah starts. So that's why we need to create an environment within our homes regarding these 10 days. Teach them about Ibrahim alayhi salam, and let them know who Ismail alayhi salam was. Our wives should know who Hajar alayhi salam was and how much sacrifice she made overall. These 10 days, especially the very first 10 days of the Hijjah, are very, very special. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is a hadith in Bukhari, narrated by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, that he said, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, a nearby effect, he said that the a'mal that are performed in these 10 days are very, very beloved, very, very dear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Sahaba sitting around and sitting in the gathering of the Prophet alayhi salam, they questioned the Prophet and they asked that, what about even, is this even more beloved and more virtuous than striving in the path of Allah? And he says, yes, this is even more than that, unless a person, he goes with his wealth and he goes with his belongings and he does not return back. So this is something that we need to understand, that these 10 days are very, very beloved. Not only that, but in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he swears upon these 10 days. He says, wal fajr, he swears upon the time of fajr, the break of dawn. And then he says, wal layal al-ashr, he swears upon these 10 nights. According to many